Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin, Familia NFL Insider Series. I mean, we're going 32 for 32 for the third year in a row, el tercer año. This is just, and it's been awesome. Learned so much. So please, por favor, make sure when you go to familiaffp.com, I mean, when you go to familiaffp on YouTube, give us that, hit that subscriber button. Give us the thumbs up. Drop a comment in the chat. There's going to be some really good stuff to comment on in this episode. So please, por favor, give us a like and subscribe. And also make sure when you're going to underdogfantasy.com, Familia, we're past the 4th of July. This is best ball season. The height that, you know, the casual fans are coming back. So if you're a casual fan and you want to get back into the best ball season, keep drafting. And just, hey, you might win some money at the end of the year because you forget about those teams. Maybe check in on them here and there, but hey, no transactions, no nothing. They set the best lineup for you. Underdogfantasy.com. And when you use the promo code FAMILIA23, you're going to get matched up to the first $100. So dollar for dollar, you put in $100, they put in $100. Get in there. All right, Familia. And, when I talk about Familia, I mean, this, our invitado is not just Familia. He's a compa. He is definitely a compa. So, oh my goodness. I've so enjoyed watching the growth of the Compas on the Beat podcast. And also, you know, this man coming back to the Charger Beat last year, writing for the Sporting Tribune. He's formerly with Sports Illustrated, Familia. And obviously, you know, there's the Compas on the Beat network. He's also got such sweet hair that Deion Sanders just can't stop raving about him. So, and you know, getting back to Compas on the Beat, they've got multiple channels. They've got merchandise. They've even made a star out of his brother, Dan and Dago. So let's do this. Bienvenido, Fernando Ramirez. Fernando, estás en tu casa. Welcome. Thank you for doing this.
Jorge, thank you so much for having me on. And obviously, if you have Shohei Ohtani, Anthony Rendon, or Mike Trout, you may be in when it comes to baseball and drafting them. You may be in a little bit of hot water. As you can tell, I've been covering the Padres Angel series. So injuries upon injuries, but no, I appreciate you having me on. And obviously my Lo Fuerte is NFL. So I'm excited to get away a little bit from baseball and talk a little NFL. Cause that's really the bread and butter. Oh, la tortilla con los frijoles, obviously.
frijolitos with a little. Oh, yes, yeah. Frijolitos, a little arroz y frijoles, or maybe a little otro carne asada on there or something.
Yeah,
or
there you go.
Oh, good times. Yeah. Little pico de gallo. Oh man, well the pico de gallo for the Chargers, the spice of life. It's at number 10, Justin Herbert, and last year, you know, rough year. I mean, that I swear that I don't know how he was able to play through that rib injury after, you know, that he suffered in the Kansas City game. And then having to play for big chunks without Keenan Allen, without Big Mike Williams, and just having 4,700 yards, but really, you know, people in the fantasy industry are talking so much about how he, you know, he wasn't throwing deep. And it's like, well, who is he going to throw deep to? Now we've got return to health, but also a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. Are we ready to put Justin Herbert back into the, you know, take his seat back at the elite class?
You know, it's funny, and it's not even just that, but he still willed him into the playoffs. The defense wasn't as good as what people. I mean, they picked it up the last 5 weeks, but other than that, the defense was just not very good last season. They couldn't stop the run. So for all those factors and Justin Herbert being able to will this team with the rib injury, and then he sustained a shoulder injury against the Rams, which he had to have off-season surgery. So the Chargers have taken it easy with Justin. They've eased him back into it, but he's got back to throwing. They said he should be ready for training camp. His arm might be a little bit sore after maybe signing. Maybe he's going to sign that a contract extension. Maybe that arm will get a little sore with all the zeros in the bank account. But definitely, I think Justin is going to go back to being Justin Herbert. Kellen Moore has talked about how they want to open up the playbook. They want to do, they're going to do some of the same stuff that Justin and the wide receivers are comfortable with. But then you hear Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, these guys talk about how they're going to go vertical. They're going to go more down the field. I don't know if people noticed, but even last year, even when Keenan came back, Justin was throwing down the field to him a lot. It wasn't like before. Everybody thinks Keenan Allen is this slant route, out route, kind of receiver. And no, he can do it all. He was going down the field. He was beating guys. He was like against Kansas City, he beat a double team to go down the field and catch a huge reception. I think on third or fourth down. No, it was third down. I expect this offense to get even more explosive than they were this year. Justin could easily, with the way they're talking about this and the new weapons that he has, he might get to 40 to 50 touchdowns. I mean, 40 to 45, just because I think this offense is going to explode this year. I think they're going to take the next step. And I mean, I'm sure Justin hasn't heard it, but I'm sure everybody else has heard it around him that people are doubting him. People think that he's not a lead. He hasn't won a playoff game. And it's like, folks, Justin doesn't play deep. Like last year when everybody's like, oh, he blew the lead against Jacksonville. That's not just him. I mean, he doesn't play defense. He doesn't play receiver. He doesn't play other positions. I mean, it's a team game. And unfortunately, the team, like, they weren't able to hold on to that lead. But I really do think I think this is going to be a special year for Justin. I think he's going to put up some big numbers. I think he's going to exceed the yards that he had as well. I just think this offense is going to just get better. And I think Justin is going to put up some elite numbers this year and possibly be in the MVP discussion, in my opinion, because I just think the kid is that damn good. And I really think that he's going to be even better this year.
Yeah, because you talked about it. I mean, people are almost forgetting. I mean, it just shows the short-term memory. I mean, he still threw 4,700 yards last year, and it seemed like he was just throwing little popgun shots. And then coming off of a 2021 season where he threw over 5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns.
And just real quick, also people are forgetting. Everybody's like, oh, well, he only threw 25 touchdowns. Well, Austin Eckler had 18 touchdowns. Yeah. So, I mean, he kind of took away from once it would get in the red zone, it'd be handed off to Austin Eckler. He'd walk into the end zone and he'd score a running touchdown. So it was like he took a little bit away from what Justin could score. So, and it's just funny because they had, like you said, they didn't have Jalen Guyton either to throw down the field, which I know some people are like, Jalen Guyton, he's an important piece when it comes to stretching, being able to stretch out the defense. So he really at times, I think against the 49ers, they barely lost to the 49ers, and they had Joshua Palmer, DeAndre Carter, and Michael Bandy as their three receivers. So for him to go toe-to-toe with the NFC champ, like the NFC championship 49ers, like that was pretty crazy to be able to match up against them. And then the offensive line should be a lot better this year as well. You get Rashawn Slater back. You've moved Zion to left guard. You've Jamari Sawyer now plugs in at right guard, and you re-sign Trey Pipkins and obviously Corey Linsley's there at center. So this offensive line should be much improved this year as well.
And is that group looking pretty healthy?
Yeah, no. They practiced during OTAs and during mini camp, and everybody keeps on raving about each other. I mean, it's crazy. Corey Linsley was raving about all four guys. They think that Slater's going to be back to his all-pro level this year. So there's a lot of excitement about the offensive line, especially because Trey Pipkins is one of those guys that I remember. I was talking about it with Gilbert. Gilbert and I were there when he was drafted, and we looked at each other and we're like, Sioux Falls. We're like, who the hell is this guy? And the Chargers have molded him. The rough part was, I don't know if it was rough part or how you would describe it, but like, he's had four offensive line coaches in this first 4 years. So, I mean, every single year he had a new voice. He had to listen to a new voice. But he told me after the season was over, I took little bits and pieces from each one, and that's how I learned. That's how I grew. And obviously that turned into the Chargers paying him in the offseason to solidify their offensive line. So I really think this is probably the best Chargers offensive line they've had on paper, obviously, since the Philip Rivers playoff-bound Chargers in 2006, 7, 8, 9. Like, it's probably been their best offensive line since that era. So I really think that they're going to – the only thing is, can they open up the holes for the running backs? that's going to be the interesting part about how they're going to do in the run game. But other than that, I really do think that this is probably their best offensive line since that era.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. You saved me asking that question. One last question about Herbert. You know, he ran for about 300 yards back in 2021. Obviously, he didn't run last year because he wasn't going to be putting himself into harm's way. Kellen Moore, you know, liked to use Dak Prescott as a running quarterback. Is there talk of him possibly, you know,
running? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think I know where you're going. Designed runs, I don't think so. I don't think you want to put your quarterback in that kind of position, especially, I mean, you know what happened to him last year with the whole injury and everything. So I think it's going to be if whatever you feel, go do. Like if you feel like you need to take off and run, go ahead and do it. If that's kind of what I think it's going to end up being, like whatever Herbert feels at the moment, he can take off and run. But designed runs, I'd be very surprised unless it's like you're in the red zone, you're in the red zone, and you're at the 5-yard line, and you kind of give a fake to Eckler, and maybe he walks it in, maybe something like that. But designed runs, I'd be very surprised because he's a sneaky good athlete, he's big and everything, but I don't think they want Herbert taking those kinds of licks, especially with some of the licks, that he's already taken.
Yeah. I mean, coming off shoulder surgery.
And you saw that's how Dak Prescott got hurt that one year on a designed run. So, I mean, you don't want to put your quarterback in harm's way. Because, I mean, the Bengals don't do that. It's kind of how Burrow feels and goes. The Chiefs don't do that either. The only ones that do it, and I think it's dangerous, is Buffalo. You're one play away from Josh Allen really getting hurt. I'm surprised he gets up from some of these because there's some hits that he takes, and I'm like, whoa, like. And you know, as soon as he takes off running like that, you know the defense is kind of foaming at the mouth. I'm like, all right, let's take a hard hit. Let's try and nail him. Let's try and do something. And he just but I don't think the Chargers want to put their I don't think Kellen Moore wants to put Herbert in those kinds of situations, if I'm being completely honest.
No, awesome. Well, let's go over to Eckler.
Okay.
The top two running back the last 2 years. And I mean, he was for PPR purposes, he was the running back one last year, 38 touchdowns in the last two seasons. Obviously he's on a mission. You know, he, you know, at one point requested a trade. Now he's basically playing for the next contract, but he is very much the focal point. Is he still going to remain pretty much the focal point and kind of like that red zone, weapon?
I'm going to be honest. I think his numbers are going to decrease a little bit. I think with the way this offense is going to be designed, with all the weapons, with all the mouths you have to feed, I really think that this offense, yeah, they're going to have him run the ball. He's still going to do what he does. But I think when they get in the red zone, it's going to be more of the Herbert show this season. Just because, I mean, like I said, I think he's going to get to 40, 45 touchdowns. And I think one of the reasons is going to be because of the play designed by Kellen Moore. So I really do think that they may use Austin and I think he'll still get about 10 to 15 touchdowns, but I think they may be more like last year was more running. I think this year it'll be more receiving that he gets up to those touchdowns. But I really do think that this is going to be the Herbert show this year. I really do think that Austin's numbers may decrease running wise and touchdown wise, but I think they'll increase receiving wise and maybe receiving touchdown wise, just because I really do think that this offense, they know that they can run gun. They know that they are going to have different personnel to be able to go. I noticed during OTAs and minicamp that Austin got split out at receiver like he did before during the Melvin Gordon era. They haven't really done it since Melvin Gordon left, but they used to like putting Austin out wide. And then the linebacker, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to trash linebackers or anything, but they get a little lazy. They think the running back's going to do a curl route or something simple, and Austin would just burn right through him, and then they throw the long ball. Like Phillip would get him the long ball, and Austin would catch it, and he'd hit a 50-yard touchdown or something like that. I think they're gonna try and do something like that with Austin also this year. So I think Austin's role is going to change a little bit. But he said it's business as usual, but I kind of think there might be a little bit of some changes when it comes to how Austin gets. I still think he gets his numbers, but I think it's going to be in a different way.
You know, it's kind of like the perennial question, you know, is there someone who's kind of like the lead caballo to be the number two guy?
I mean, everybody keeps on talking about Joshua Kelly, but I kind of felt in the past that Joshua Kelly gets off to a good pace and then he gets injured or something. Like he gets, something happens where he kind of slows down and then he comes back from the injury and he's not the same. A guy that I'd be looking at is Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M. They drafted him last year in the fourth round and he never really got a chance to show what he could do. And I feel like maybe Kellen Moore could turn him into a Tony Pollard kind of back. But I mean, if Austin leaves in free agency next year, the Chargers might be a little bit in trouble because they are going to need a back. And I just don't think that as of right now, I mean, obviously Isaiah Spiller is the only one I'm kind of holding out hope for just because we haven't seen him yet. We haven't seen what he can do. You kind of know what you get from Josh Kelly. You kind of know what you get from Larry Roundtree, but from Isaiah Spiller, you don't know yet what you're going to get. So maybe he's kind of that guy that may be able to take over and be able to be that second back. But as of right now, I don't think they have. I think they're just going to go running back by committee, see who's a guy that can maybe take off, who's a guy that can show out to these guys. But I really don't see. I mean, and they're going to get their opportunity. I mean, Brandon Staley's been open about veterans having rest. You know, in the past, and I think this is going to continue. I don't see Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Corey Linsley, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. I don't see any of those guys playing in any preseason games. So I think the backup running backs are going to really have a good opportunity to try and show which one of those three. And even watch out for the undrafted guys that they have, because I mean the Chargers always add an undrafted free agent in some place. So I think that the running backs are going to have a good opportunity to show out and show who's going to be that second back. But as of OTAs and training camp, and I mean, you can't take anything into it because you just don't know. But the guy that was the number two was Joshua Kelly. But that could change with a strong camp. So I would look out for Isaiah Spiller.
Oh, awesome. Well, you know, we know we're going to get the inside scoop. You got to make sure as his Twitter handle right there at Real F Ramirez, you know, you're going to get keep an eye on that familia, you know, during training camp. We got now, you know, you talked about Keenan Allen getting more deep shots and you brought back a memory for me. I was at the first game as a fan when he got hurt against the Raiders, and he was the best player on the field the first half. And I mean,
it was him and Devontae Adams just battling back and forth.
Oh man. And they were, you're right. It was not short shots that he was getting. So, you know, going into the season. So, you know, it looks like, you know, he's healthy. You know, it looks like Mike Williams is healthy. Now you added Quentin Johnson, QJ, as he's getting called so much. you know, in talking about a big season for Justin Herbert, it's got to mean big things for all three of them. Can you give me an idea on the pecking order?
Well, I mean, I think the pecking order is the way you said it. Obviously, Keenan, Mike, then Quentin Johnson, but I think Quentin Johnson might have a big rookie year if he's able to get everything down the way I think he is. I mean, Keenan was raving about him, Mike Williams was raving about him, Justin Herbert was raving about him. So everybody really. And then I asked Derwin James at the. And this is the thing: people think that I singled out I asked Derwin, "Hey, how's Quentin Johnson doing?" No, I asked him, "Can you tell me one rookie that's really impressed you?" And he said, Quentin Johnson. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, he's him. Like, he's that guy. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, okay, that's really impressive. Like, for him to call him out, like, that was pretty impressive. So I watched him during minicamp and during OTAs. And as soon as he would come off the field, he would go straight to Justin or straight to Keenan. And he'd ask them, hey, what can I do better? How am I doing this? What should I do there? He said he spoke to Mike Williams about Mike's like, hey, what are you doing there in the offseason? He's like, well, I may go back home, but I really don't have anything. He's like, start getting your routine in, get a place to go train, start working out, so that when you come to, because you know, Jorge, back in the day, guys used to use training camp to get in shape. Now it's like you come in shape into training camp ready to go. So he said it's been very, and I spoke to him at the end of mini camp. He said it's been very helpful to get tips from Keenan, from Mike. He's like, even guys like Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer, those guys. And I think Josh Palmer is a guy that's kind of getting forgotten in all this, because he had a pretty nice season last year. Over 70 catches, over 700 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. But I really think it's still going to be Keenan Allen and Mike Williams' show, but I think Quentin Johnston is going to be the guy that I said in another podcast, and I hope I'm right, but I think he's going to get close to that 1,000-yard range this year, just because I feel like he's going to be the guy that comes open. Mike and Keenan are such a distraction. You've been waiting for that other guy. I don't know if you remember, I don't know how many people remember this, but a couple of years ago, the Chargers had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Tyrell Williams.
Yes.
And when they had that, they were a lethal combination. The only thing that they were missing that year was the fact that Hunter Henry had gotten hurt in mini camp. He tore his ACL and he didn't play that season. If Hunter Henry plays, that offense would have been even more lethal than what it was. But that year, if Keenan and Mike weren't open, they'd go to Tyrell. So they had a perfect trio there. And I really do feel like that's what this kid's going to bring. This kid, so Josh Palmer to me is similar to Keenan and Mike. He does what both of them can do. He does a lot of similar things in both of them. Quentin Johnson's different. He uses his body. He's kind of a basketball player. I noticed him when he does a curl route, he catches it. He fakes one way and then turns around the other, and he really fakes out the corner. He gets that those yak yards of the Chargers have been missing. A lot of it is the Chargers receivers make catches, and then they get tackled right away. This kid, I feel like, could catch a 20-yard route and turn into a 70-yard touchdown the way we saw him against Michigan last year in the semifinal. So I really do think that, like I said, Keenan and Mike are going to get their catches. They're going to do what they do best. And by the way, I've started a campaign to change Mike's nickname. Everybody calls him 80-20. I think he's more 90-10 now. The guy, anytime he's down the field, he makes those big catches. And I really do think that Justin enjoys throwing down the field to him. But like I said, with Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator, with Quentin Johnson, Josh Palmer, Keenan, Mike, I really think that this offense is going to change and they're going to be a lot more lethal this year. And I think Quentin Johnson is going to be a guy that you see get close to those 1,000 yards. And I think he's just going to add a different dimension to this offense that they haven't had during the Brandon Staley era and obviously in the back end of the Anthony Lynn era after they lost Tyrell Williams to free agency.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. You know, we haven't talked about the tight end room. I think, you know, with so much attention being paid to the wide receivers, are there going to be any, and, you know, you mentioned Austin Ekeler being very much a threat, you know, tight end being such a tough position for fantasy football, are there going to be enough leftovers for Everett?
I think Everett and even Donald Parham, if healthy, I think they're going to be a huge part of this offense as well, just because everybody's going to be just so distracted on the other weapons that I think these guys are going to come through. We have to remember Gerald Everett had 100 yards in that playoff game against Jacksonville. He was tearing Jacksonville apart. That's why in the second half, they started double teaming him. They started doing some different things so that Herbert couldn't go to him as much. And there is a reason for that, is because you take away Keenan Allen, you take away Everett, and there was really not much for Justin to throw to. So I really do think that Everett's going to have, I don't know, I can't say a big year, but I still think he'll get about 500, 600 yards. I think he'll have about 7 touchdowns right around that area, just because I feel like in the red zone, Justin will look for him, especially, like I said, other weapons are going to be taken. So I think he'll look for Everett. But I really do think that Gerald Everett is a very athletic tight end. I think he's going to have a big role. And I feel like that's kind of what Justin Herbert likes, those athletic tight ends that are almost receivers. And Gerald, I mean, one aspect of his game that not a lot of people talk about, he has sneaky fast speed. So
yes.
I really do think that he's going to take advantage of that. And I feel like the Chargers offense is going to take advantage of what he can do. I know people thought, oh, Dalton Schultz might come to the Chargers, but I don't think Herbert likes, I think Herbert likes more of those athletic tight ends that can stick, move, and do some other stuff. So I really do think that Gerald Everett, there's going to be enough left for Gerald Everett to be able to have another strong season for the Chargers.
Oh, awesome. Well, a quick question on the defensive side. You know, the running defense, the rushing defense was you know, that it was rough. I mean, a lot of big games against them. I know that there was some, you know, some signings that to try and shore up that part of the defense. Still very good, you know, pass defense. How's it shaping up on that side against the run in the pass this year?
Well, I mean, that's why they went out and they got Eric Hendricks. Eric Hendricks is a guy that's been able to stop the run. He's a very good linebacker, aggressive leader. So I know that's one of the main reasons why they got him. I think it's all going to depend on the defensive line and can the guys get in. I know they were missing Joey Bosa. They missed Joey Bosa for a big part of the season. He's a guy, he's like Khalil Mack. They both are not scared to get into the run and try and stop the run, and they help out in the run game. So I think if healthy, this defense should be able to be better against the run, especially with Joey Bosa back. I think it really is going to rest a lot on Austin Johnson. He was a guy that the Chargers gave a 2-year contract last year, but they gave him big money. And Sebastian Joseph Day was able to play most of the season. Austin Johnson went down with that injury, and I know he's not back yet. They're expecting him to be back for training camp, but if he's going to be a starter, they're going to need him to step up. Tito Ogbonia, he's a fifth-round pick of the Chargers last year. They're hoping he steps up as well, but it's all going to be on the defensive line. Can the defensive line get stops and do a lot of things? Because last year, I mean, they were able to do some good, but it was when Brendan Faiyoko was there, and Brendan Faiyoko is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. But Brendan Faiyoko, when he got in there in the second half of the season, once the Chargers let go of Jerry Tillery, and which was one of the smartest moves that they had done, just because I really thought he was really bad. He was bad at everything. He was bad at rushing the passer. He was terrible against the run. Once they let go of Jerry Tillery, I think the defense kind of settled down a little bit, and they were able to do some good things. So I really do think that if the defensive line is – it's all going to start with them. If the defensive line can hold up, and that's why they've signed – they've signed a lot of guys. They even brought in some big-time undrafted free agents, rookies, but they signed some veterans to that defensive line. Why? Because they know that they need to stop the run, and they're going to use different combinations. But Morgan Fox, Austin Johnson, Sebastian Joseph Day, Tito Ogbonia, Scott Matlock, their sixth round draft pick, they're going to be counting on all those. Nick Williams, they're going to be counting on all those guys to stop the run. And I think they're going to carry one more defensive lineman this year, an extra one just in case, but they're going to need to solidify they're going to need the defensive lineman to really impose their will. If not, it's going to be a rough season again for them. But I really do feel like they did a good job of bringing guys in, and they can still bring in more guys. It just depends on who gets cut or what happens. But I really do feel like their defensive line is probably the best that they've had in a while. So it's going to start on them. If they can solidify themselves, then I think they should be able to do a better job of stopping the run.
Oh man, yeah. Well, I mean, though I will say, fantasy football fans won't have a problem if they see some shootouts with the Chiefs this year. So that.
I'm so mad at that. By the way, I have a bone to pick with the schedule makers. How the hell do they make that last game of the season Chargers and Chiefs? It should not have happened that way. I told Gilbert when we jumped on Compas to do this. I'm like, in a perfect world, that last game of the season is for the division. Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert for the AFC West. The Chiefs have won it 7 years in a row. Can the Chargers unseat them on Sunday Night Football? But in all reality, the Chiefs are already going to be in the playoffs. They're going to rest everybody, and the Chargers are going to have to be fighting for their playoff spots to get in if they win. So I'm like, in a perfect world, it's for the division. In all reality, it's probably going to be a win and you're in for the Chargers. So, so it's going to be interesting, to be honest. I'm interested to see what's going to happen. But I'm mad at that last game because I love Herbert versus Mahomes. I think that's one of the best rivalries in football that nobody really talks. Everybody says Ravens, Steelers, and Dolphins and Bills right now. But I really do think that the Mahomes Herbert, we're taking it for granted. I just think they're special games. I think I saw. There's only Mahomes only beat the Chargers by like a grand total in the last four or five games that he's faced them. He's only beaten them by a grand total of like 14 points. Like that's crazy. Yeah. Like that's crazy, especially the way Patrick Mahomes goes. That is crazy. So, but yeah, I just had to get that out there that I'm angry with the schedule makers for doing that, because I love watching Mahomes and Herbert go at it.
In full disclosure, I'm also a little annoyed at the schedule makers because they put the Chargers in week 17, which is championship week for fantasy, in Denver, which has been kind of like, yeah. And you've talked about it on the show, how on Compas on the Beat, how, you know, that's kind of like their Bermuda Triangle.
And it has, I mean, the last time I remember them being good in Denver was, like I said, in the 06, 05, 06, 07, 08, 09. Like there, it's funny, when LT was in the division, they dominated the division like no other. Like LT had almost a perfect, I think he only lost to the Raiders twice, maybe three times in his career. And they handled every opponent in the division. And now it's like, it's hard for them to play in Denver. They surprisingly play. I think the Chargers are the only team that really plays Kansas. I mean, I know the Bengals do too, and the Bills do as well. But surprisingly, the Chargers really play Kansas City well, no matter what. Like last year, they didn't have Mike Williams in that game, and they were missing some defensive players, and they played the Chiefs until the and they played them into overtime. So, the last play of the game. But still, I mean, it's just one of those things where they play them really tough. So I'm interested to see how this division goes. And I know a lot of people are like talking about, oh, Sean Payton's going to revive Russell Wilson's career. And I don't know about that. I'm interested to see kind of how that works. And then will Jimmy G play, or will Tom Brady come down from management like Michael Jordan did for the Wizards and play for the Raiders? I honestly, this is all very, this division's going to be very interesting this year, to say the least. I'm interested to see kind of how everything, and then will the Chiefs have a Super Bowl hangover? Do they have enough weapons? How are they going to approach this season? So they're all four teams are very interesting in my opinion.
No, you're not kidding. You're not kidding me, amigo. Closing up, you know, before we pump everything, but Gilberto, he dropped a bomb on me. He said he's been sampling avocados. Have you anything new that you've been trying?
I didn't even know he was doing that. That's pretty interesting. No, because I'm not like him. Like, I'm one of those people that like, I'll try anything. Like, I remember a couple of years ago when the Chargers played the Chiefs in Mexico City, Danny Dago actually went with me, and we went to go eat with an uncle. And we went to this restaurant, and they brought out a plate, and I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh, they're crickets. And I'm like, oh, really? And then I was like, oh, I'll try it. And Dan Dago's like, hell no, I ain't trying that. And he's like, I want to squash the little bastards for all the noise that they make at home. And I start laughing, and I tried it, and I thought it was delicious. So, I mean, I'll try anything, to be honest. I'm not opposed to anything. So I'll try anything once, and if I don't like it, I don't like it. But usually I'm a pretty easygoing. The only thing I won't eat that's very Mexican is nopales. I can't do that. Oh. Nopales are the one thing that I just can't. I had a bad. So just real quick, when I was younger, we went to Puerto Vallarta on vacation, and my grandmother, God bless her, and R.I.P. She gave me sunscreen, and I put it on and everything. And she's like, have you reapplied? Like hours later, I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I reapplied again. The next morning, I wake up with boils on my back. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what's going on? I'm like, you gave me sunscreen. She's like, well, how'd that happen? I have like 8 boils on my back. And she looks, and it was expired. It was expired sunscreen. Like, it was the year 2003, and it expired in like 99. So I was like, what? And I'm like, and I look over at Dan. I'm like, why aren't you sunburned? He's like, oh, I got it from Arthea. Like, she's the one that put sunscreen on me. And my cousin, same thing. And everybody else used sunscreen that my aunt had. I was the only guy that got it from grandma. So then that day, I didn't want to go to the pool. I didn't want to go anywhere. So she takes me to my other aunt's house. And then she's like, well, what are we going to do? She's like, necesito que seas hombre ahorita. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, just stand over the chair and just relax. And I'm like, what is going on? She cuts an opal in half. She grabs the juice, puts it on my back. My back starts stinging. Like, ooh, literally, like, I wanted to cry. And she's like, say hombre. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm like, don't cry. Grandma's telling you to be a man right now. I'm like, oh. I'm like, and she's like, say hombre. I'm like, okay. And it just I ever since then I don't want that. I hate that. Like, I even have a phobia when I go to the pool. Like, I check the sunscreen to make sure it is not expired, because I am not having boils on my back, and I'm not getting nopales put, or the juice from the nopal put in on my back. So yeah, I'm very cautious when it comes. Like, we go to the beach sometimes, and I bring 5 or 6 umbrellas. I stick them in the ground and I stay in the shade. I'm not going into the sun. So, I'm one of those people. I'm scared to get boils on my back again and do that. So yeah, it's other than nopales, I'll eat anything.
Oh man. Well, I can imagine being scarred for life. So I'm not gonna push nopales on you. I'm a fan.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, I would avoid them to be, oh man. And familia, if you ever want to hear the expert on the California burrito, this is El Hombre right here.
There you go.
get it down there in San Diego, down San Diego way. And also, you know, everybody keeps saying, everybody who I have on, they always unanimously say that the best fish tacos are anywhere in San Diego, just anywhere.
Oh yeah. No, you know what's the funniest part is the only place that I really like the California burrito in LA is Cali Tacos in Anaheim. That place right by Disneyland, that place is really good. So that's the only place that I think matches the California. I don't know if it matches San Diego, but I think it's damn good. So Cali Tacos in Anaheim is the only place that I'm like, okay, like this place is actually pretty good. But other than that, I think there's other delicious Mexican food up in LA that's like, I can't remember the station. I think that's what it's called. Place is that the where they have the different stands and everything. I think that place is delicious. They have some great tacos there. But here in San Diego for tacos, like people go to Tacos El Gordo. I can't stand that place. Like, that place is overrated, overhyped, expensive. The quality is not that good. So when anybody was like, oh, let's go get tacos, I'm like, we can go to TJ. Oh, I'm gonna get this. I was like, nothing's gonna happen. You're coming with me. Like, we'll go to TJ. You just have to. I have Sentry, so you just have to cross walking back. So, but other than that, I mean, if you're down to go to TJ, I'll take you. But you're walking back. I'm not gonna be in that regular line for 4 hours like everybody else. But I mean, definitely. I love Mexican food is honestly the best. And you just wish it was dietary and you wouldn't get fat off of it, but that's another story for another day.
that's why they made salads for that, to balance things out.
Yeah, exactly.
Adios, mio. This has been awesome. Hey, mi amigo. Okay, well, we also know that Compas on the Beat, you got merch now. So yeah. Please pump the merch, pump anything you got coming up.
Yeah, no. We have merch that obviously Gilbert's been he's been the mastermind behind that stuff. We have shirts, hats, hoodies, all that good stuff. Hey, I know it's summer right now, but you know the winter's gonna be coming up quick. You wanna get the hoodie. Also, comment, like, subscribe on Compas on the Beat. We also have a show, What's Up Bolts, for all your Charger stuff. That's a show that Dan and Dago and I do. And folks, if we get to 1,000 subscribers, he hates this, but if we get to 1,000 subscribers, one lucky viewer will be getting lunch with Dan and Dago. I know he hates that, but that I say that, but if we get to 1,000, one lucky viewer is going to be getting lunch with Dan and Dago. I know how, you know, it's funny, Jorge, and I know I'm laughing saying it, but when I put that out there, a couple of people commented, they're like, oh dude, hell yeah. I want lunch with Dan and Dago. And we kind of went up in subscriptions after I said that. So some people are pumped about that. He's not happy about it, but obviously he'll do anything because he's a team player. But he's like, don't make this about me. I'm like, no, people love you. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, you're an institution. Like, wait till we get you out of training camp. Some people asked me last year, cause I wasn't there. Obviously I was elsewhere. But during training camp, I wasn't there doing the Chargers stuff. And people like were messaging me and they're like, hey, is Dan and Dago going to be coming out to training camp? And people were asking Gilbert and they're like, no, unfortunately, he won't be at training camp this year. And they're like, oh, what a bummer. So this year, Dan and Dago returns to training camp. So make sure you guys are on the lookout, because that's going to be a lot of fun to see him back out there. He hates when people are like, oh, not hates, but But when people come up, hey, you're Dan and Dago, what's up, man? He's like, he doesn't know how to act. He's like, oh, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. This, that. So it's a pretty funny thing. But definitely check out everything else. This weekend, or last weekend, whenever you guys are listening to this, Gilbert and I will be at UFC 290 in Vegas. Yair Rodriguez and Brandon Moreno will both be in action. It's going to be awesome. Gilbert and I will be at the T-Mobile Arena watching and covering this fight. So make sure you guys check out Combat Compas, like, comment, subscribe on that too, where we will be watching and talking about the fight after. So definitely some fun stuff coming up on Compas on the Beat. So Jorge, I appreciate you letting me push that, and obviously keep on checking out Jorge's show. It's awesome, awesome stuff. We appreciate, and honestly, La Familia, that's awesome, because really it does feel like even the your parents' friends, they were always tío, tía, all that. So
yes,
obviously huge. It's huge that it's awesome that that's the name of your show.
Well, I mean, you know, we're todos somos familia. You know, you're yeah, compa. You know, what's, you know, be a compa. Once a compa, be a compa. Or...
exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah. So I mean, we're just excited about the next steps that we're trying to take, and it's just good stuff. And honestly, we're just excited about continuing the show, getting back from our. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but we're excited about jumping back into it and training camp, because training camp comes, and that's when this little figure gets a little darker, just because of all the time I spent out in the sun. So even during training camp, Jorge, I'm trying to get shade. Like, I'm like a tree here, a tarp there. Like, I try and get anywhere I can, because I am not getting sunburned. I'm not doing that. I turn a disgusting red color. My brother went, Dan and Diego one time, was like, oh, you look like the Kool-Aid man. So I'm not trying to do all that. So so yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, we don't want to. Oh yeah,
oh yeah. Yeah, no, exactly, exactly. Oh no, he already picked out my Halloween costume. He's like, I want you to be the Beverly Hills Ninja. I smacked him over the head. So definitely he's like, can you say holy Shinto? I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm not doing that. So but yeah, it's just but yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, I appreciate you being on. I mean, familia, just make sure you're checking out the Compas on the Beat. I mean, honestly, if you guys are following familia FFB, a good chance that you're following Compas on the Beat too. So, yes, mi amigo, this was un gran placer. Thank you so much for joining and giving me the laughter at the end. And I want to see video of that lunch with Dan and Dago.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm a subscriber, so I might be.
Oh, there you go. It might be you. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Even Gilbert was like, "Hey, you know what? I might want that lunch with Dan and Dago." And if you already know how Dan and Dago is, you and Gilbert and his relationship is, you already know what Dan responded. So. It's one of those, but yeah, it might be you, the lucky viewer that gets to have lunch with Dan and Dago, but we're definitely excited about everything. And again, good luck with everything that you're doing. And it's awesome to see that you're doing your thing.
No, thank you. Thank you. Hey, you know what? Yeah, we all got to, you know, fellow Latinos, we got to prop one another up exactly, and help each other out. So thank you so much. Yeah. And if I win the lunch with Dan and Dago, I'm going to insist on him having the cowboy hat on. So.
Oh, well, real quick story. When we went to the Super Bowl, we drove. Dan and Dago and I drove. Jeff Miller, who covers the Chargers for the LA Times, he decided to take a train down to San Diego because he wanted to drive with us as well. So that was the funniest. So we start driving up to go pick up Jeff at the train station. Dan goes, I forgot my cowboy hat. And I'm like, he's like, do I need it? I'm like, do you need it? That's how everybody, like, Pat McAfee recognizes him because of the cow. Like, all these like athletes and everybody recognize him because of the cowboy hat. I'm like, turn around, let's go get that damn cowboy hat. That's how everybody knows you. And we go and everybody recognizes him because of the cowboy hat. So yeah, you definitely, that's a must wear for Dan and Dago.
Oh man, that's awesome. It's gonna be a while to wipe the smile off my face. This has been so good. Thank you. Muchas gracias, you know, Fernando.
Appreciate you.
Oh man. And familia, also one before I don't want to forget, if you haven't followed us on YouTube, please hit that subscriber button. Please, our numbers have been jumped actually a lot during this NFL Insider Series because we are getting such great information here that's gonna help you for your fantasy leagues. And also, again, go to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code familia23, familia23, if you want to do it in Spanish, going to get matched up to the first $100. Again, you can find me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter. Everywhere else, it's familiaffb, familiaffb.com. Going to have some content coming out there, and also some of the other sites that you're going to see that as we get closer to football season. You're going to see my name pop up there, here and there, but I'll be pumping it all on Twitter. So familia, once again, to Fernando, muchas gracias. And to you, everybody, thank you. Muchas gracias for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.